Okay, it's good to have all of you here today and those who are online. We're going to prepare ourselves for the study of God's Word by having a few moments of silent prayer. And during that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are our God, a God of mercy and a God of grace. You are so righteous and just, and you never leave us and you never forsake us. We're so thankful for that. We thank you that you've given us the time, the word, and everything we need to grow in grace. And we thank you for that as well. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate this evening, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, we've been talking about during the week for our two special guests that are here. And here they are. This is Bruce. Bruce, I know your last name. Baumgartner. Bruce Baumgartner and Tayo. I'm not going to try your second. Is that all right if we just call you Tayo? Okay, that's great. Because I know I would butcher it. So, anyways, we're so glad for you to be here. And I had some, the last Sunday, I had information about where you were when you got a book. And you it was a Colonel Thames book. Then you went to get some more, and you got all that, and that got you started. And I'm so glad that that happened. And now here you are in Brenham, Texas, at Country Bible Church, a little old place here. And we're so thankful that y'all came this way for us. And I'm going to ask if Bruce will come up and introduce Tayo, let us know more about him.
It's a real joy for me to be here. I don't know if you remember this, but you were on the ordaining committee that ordained me at BRCA quite a number of years ago. Yeah, same thing. We sat next to each other that day. But I want to let you know just a little bit about my friend Tayo. I first met Tayo when he was the associate pastor at Kensington Baptist Church in Bristol, England. And he was doing a fantastic job there. The senior pastor was named Andy Patterson. And Andy was one of the better-known people in Great Britain in terms of ministry. His father was a friend of Martin Lloyd-Jones, and so they had a tremendous ministry there. Andy decided to leave and to move on and to go to another church. And when that happened, I won't get into the details, but I think Tayo found himself unemployed in Bristol, England, just kind of looking for work. Very unfairly, but that's what happened. The rest of this is kind of like a Joseph story. Tayo found himself going from a place being basically unemployed to being the director of missions for the London City Mission, which you may not have heard of it, but they know it in Europe. It's the largest mission agency of the world of its type. It serves over 70 different cultures in the London, greater metropolitan London area. And Tayo was in charge of that. And he's a very humble man, so he hesitates when I say this, but he went from being basically out of work to being one of the four or five most influential evangelicals in Great Britain. And only God could do something like that. And then a few years ago, Tayo decided he wanted to make a change, and he ended up becoming the International Missions Director for Langham Ministries. Langham Ministries was the one started by John Stott, and Tayo was their third international Director of Missions that they ever had. And with no exaggeration, that made Tayo, and he still is, probably one of the two or three most influential evangelical Christians in Great Britain. And it's so nice to be his friend. It's so nice to see what God has done through this. It's an inspirational story to show you that you're not, if God doesn't set you on the sidelines, you're not set on the sidelines. And when God says you're back in the game, you're back in the game, and he puts you exactly where he wants you to be. And that's all the time I'm going to take, Tyra. I want you to come up and tell them about the London Bible Academy and what you're doing right now. This is a really exciting time for evangelicals in Great Britain.
Heard about people, pastors that are vanishing like 10 years ago and now it's starting to come back together? Is that the idea?
Well, some are actually coming back, but largely a lot of pastors have actually given up on preaching the Bible.
People there have given up preaching the Bible.
Yes. And that's why the UK is in such a spiritual decline. As we speak now.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Yeah. And so...
And that's your mission to increase the...
Yes. The pastors who can teach faithfully, yeah. The Word of God.
Yeah.
He does, that's fine. I can just speak if it's not there. Yeah?
Is this the nursery or the youth?
The dreadful picture. Okay, thank you. Okay. I can just go ahead and speak. Okay. Well, thank you for your help. So, all right. I want to thank Pastor Mike for having me tonight. And also, many thanks to you all for receiving my ministry tonight. I've been having a very good time since I came in with Pastor Bruce. Good to be in church yesterday with him. One thing you might not have known, Pastor Mike, is that I served, when I came in contact with Grace Doctrine, I served in the Gambia as a pastor. Gambia is a little country in West Africa. I was a pastor there for about 10 years. And you might not remember, but you sent me a couple of your teachings those days by post, yeah? And then we found a way to... that was why I got to know about Country Bible Church. This is close to about 2 decades now. So it's amazing how the Lord does His work. And here we are after over 25 years thereabouts. I'm here at the Country Bible Church. And so all I'm trying to say is that your teaching ministry contributed a lot to my teaching ministry when I came in contact with the Grace Doctrine. And I really want to thank you for that. Absolutely. And not just myself, there were many pastors around me then that I passed all of these resources to. And many of them today are also teaching the Bible faithfully, all because of what God has used people like yourselves to do. The ministry of Pastor Bruce also has impacted my life so much. It's just a joy to be able to stand together in the truth. So greetings from Grace Evangelistic Ministries, in particular from Reverend Moses Owubiko, who is the international president of Grace Evangelistic Ministries. He knows I'm here tonight and this evening, and he sends his greetings. I don't know how much you know about Grace Evangelistic Ministries. The ministry has gone to over 100 countries in the world. One, to present the accurate gospel to the lost, and to help equip pastors who do not have access to good teaching. And it's great to see what God is doing through this ministry across the globe. So, Grace Evangelistic Ministries also operates in Europe, and I coordinate that work. And I live in England, I live in London, originally from Nigeria. From Nigeria, I moved to the Gambia, and from the Gambia, I moved to the UK. You might not know this, but if I ask you tonight, that what is the percentage of evangelical Christians in the UK, what will you say? Anybody can guess? The percentage of Bible-believing Christians in the United Kingdom. 5? Anybody else? 10? 20? Alright, you are very generous. So, yeah. The percentage of evangelical Christians in the UK is just 3%. 3. And this was a nation that took the Bible to many parts of the world, not least Africa. They took the gospel to us. We became Christians through their ministries. And today, God is sending some of us back to Britain to bring the Bible and the gospel back to a nation that once took the gospel out there. Only 3%. And this research was not done by unbelievers or by some kind of shallow liberal Christians. This was done by the evangelical churches in the UK. And out of this 3%, 1.5% will probably be migrant Christians, Christians from different parts of the world who live in the UK. So arguably, maybe you only have about 1.5% of indigenous British Bible-believing Christians. So many of our churches have been sold. They've turned them to mosque, turned them to gym, block of flats, and these continues to happen almost every month. Like our brother said there, many pastors have given up on teaching the Word of God. So the question is, how did we get there? What happened to Great Britain? How? In my opinion, and I hope I'm right, it's because the pastors stopped teaching and preaching God's word faithfully. When we take out the word of God from God's people, what it means is that God's people cannot grow in grace, they cannot mature in Christ. If they cannot mature in Christ, it means that they cannot fulfill God's mission through the church. And so, to keep the church growing and glorifying God, it needs pastor teachers who are faithful to the Word of God. And such pastor teachers also must have somewhere where they can be trained for these purposes. And that's why Britain is where it is today. The simple answer is that churches have abandoned the Word of God. If you live in the UK, it will break your heart many times when you see all of this is happening. And that's why the Lord impressed on my heart to start what I call the London Bible Academy. A Bible training center in London through which we can train upcoming pastor teachers and encourage and train them to become faithful in teaching the Word of God. I don't see how the spiritual degeneracy in that nation, the spiritual decline, I don't see how that will be reversed unless we train and retrain more pastors who can go back to their churches and teach the Bible faithfully. So that's what the London Bible Academy is all about. And I really ask for your prayers towards this ministry, because it's sad to see how it's difficult, it's challenging to even to be a Christian in the UK today. It's challenging. You cannot stand as a Christian in the public square anymore. People think, wow, to say I'm a Christian, I believe the Bible. Sometimes it's like you're just by yourself, because these pastors are not teaching the Bible faithfully again. And one of the things we want to do is to get in these pastors, first of all, help them to unlearn, to deconstruct their existing false teachings. But that was my story. When I came in contact with Kodethim's ministry, the first 18 months of my life, I wasn't learning, I was unlearning. I was teaching I was a Pentecostal pastor, teaching the health and the prosperity message. Actually, just call it what it is, heresy. That's what it is. I was teaching heresy. Then I came in contact with Kodethim's tapes, and for about 18 months, as I listened to them again and again, God used that to deconstruct my theological reasoning. And then after 18 months, I had a foundation that I could lay upon. And the ministries of many great doctrine pastors impacted my life, including Pastor Mike Smith. It's amazing how I've never met some of these men in a lifetime, but their teaching ministries helped me to grow. Yes, you can. Thank you very much. So the first year of this academy will be to help them to essentially have a sense of deconstructing the existing theological reasoning. The second year is to build on that foundation with accurate grace doctrine and Bible teaching. Then we're going to signpost them to other resources and Bible teachers that can help them in their ministry. And part of what I'm here in the U.S. this time is also to ask for help from some pastor teachers who we agreed to come to London to teach for us. So Pastor Bruce will be teaching for us at the Academy London. One or two other pastors have agreed to travel to London to come and teach for us. And I'm asking that you pray for us, that through this London Bible Academy, God can help raise more faithful Bible teachers who will go back to their churches and teach God's word faithfully to God's people and for God's glory. That's what's happening right now in the UK. And I do want to ask also that you pray for us in the UK, that the Lord will continue to open more doors for the gospel to the people. One of my friends wrote a book many years ago in the UK, and he calls Europe a pagan continent. And that's what it is. The UK is not a Christian country. It's actually a pagan nation as we speak right now. The UK has the sixth generation of people who have never heard the gospel. Sixth generation of people who do not know anything about the gospel. Sixth generation. How did they get there? Somebody stopped, some pastors stopped teaching at some point. And that's how we got to where we are today. And so, I pray that the Lord will give us faithful prayer partners, Bible teachers who will help us in this one. Right. Thank you. Thank you very much. How do I scroll? This one. Okay. Fine. Super. That's right. Thank you very much, brother. Thank you. So in a world that is growing dark, and the vision of London Bible Academy is to rescue the hopeless and encourage the discouraged with the bright and the redeeming and transforming light of God's world. But that can only happen through prepared pastor teachers and leaders. The reason why I put the leaders there, we want pastors who can also influence other pastors and help them to teach the word faithfully. And the vision is to retrain about 500 pastors in the next 5 years so that they can get back to clear great gospel message and accurate teaching of biblical principles for everyday application. I was trying to explain this just now, because this reflects my own story. When I came in contact with the grace teaching, what the Lord did in my life was to help me to deconstruct my existing false doctrine. And that's what we intend to do in the first stage. Then the second stage is where the real instruction comes from. You know, when you dig up a foundation and then you start building on it again, we want to be sure that these pastors, their teaching ministries are built on a solid foundation of God's word. And then by the third year, they should be ready for, wow, what's happening? Something has gone wrong here. What's going on? Okay, thank you very much. So we'll cover such doctrines as the nature of God, the authority of Scripture, the gospel of Christ. It might be shocking to you, but if you brought in 50 pastors and you ask them, what is the gospel? It will shock you that probably maybe about 5 or 4 out of 50 are the ones who can clearly state where the gospel is. And so while we think it's common and fundamental in our own ministries, many pastors have traveled extensively to many countries in the world to train and have interacted with many pastors. Many pastors behind the pulpit don't understand the gospel. So we need to help them and retrain them. The Christian way of life is a big challenge. People don't understand how to live the great life. So essentially, we will do a lot of biblical interpretation, help them to interpret scripture, help them to see how the Old and the New Testament work together, teach them how to expand the Word of God and apply it correctly to their lives and ministries. Of course, the values are clear. It's sound Bible truth we want to declare, because that's the only thing God can use to reshape the nation again and the church. We want to be servant leaders. We want to be leaders who lead with integrity. We want to be ministers who understand the foundation of God's love amongst us. We want to be people of prayer. And we want to be people who collaborate for these purposes. And so, we trust that the Lord will help us to engage with this. GM has done this in many, many countries, helping pastors to grow. As a matter of fact, this is how the Lord brought me to where I am today. I was in the open market, I bought a book, and the book was written by Connecting. Behind it was written not for sale, but they were selling the book in Nigeria. I bought it anyway, and God used that to change my life and my ministry. That's what we want to do at the end of the day with London Bible Academy. We ask for your prayers. We ask for your partnership to achieve this. I'm going to close by giving us a word of encouragement from scriptures. And if you don't mind, if you open your Bible to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. This Psalm 69 is a lament psalm. It's a psalm of David. It's called a lament because this is David going to God in a time of undeserved suffering and asking God to bring help to him. He has in his what we call imprecatory prayers. Imprecatory prayers are prayers that are prayed asking for justice against God's enemies and against God's people. But the context is that some people somehow have risen against David and they were attacking his life personally. The kind of thing you call undeserved suffering. And the reason why I've been thinking about these scriptures for a while is because it kind of relates to what's happening in the UK. To be a Christian in the UK right now is to be an object of mockery. It's as if to be a Bible-believing Christian, you are like one in a million. You are like an object of laughter and mockery. Many Christians in the UK cannot declare who they are, where they work, where they live. It's as if it's a thing of scorn to be a Christian. And so, it has its own kind of persecution. It comes with its own kind of undeserved suffering for Christ. And this is what's happening in this psalm. Some people are attacking David for no reason, for no just cause. But the beauty of it is that we know that the reason why they are attacking him is because the zeal of God's house has consumed him. David was going out all for God, all for God's purposes and for God's plans. And you will expect that when a man is serving God faithfully, you will expect that people will admire him, really. But here David is following God faithfully, but what he gets in return is undeserved suffering, attack, persecution from people in a godless world. And my simple message tonight to us is this. If we truly want to serve and follow God and follow Christ in a godless world, we must expect undeserved suffering. In our generation, if we truly want to stand for the authority of scriptures, if we truly want to stand for what the Bible teaches, if we truly want to stand for Christ, we will go through some levels of undeserved suffering, mockery, persecution. And that should not be strange to us, because that's how it has been. So there are four things I will mention quickly that mark the life or is a pattern of undeserved suffering of God's people. When you suffer for no reason, when you suffer for what you have not done, when you start suffering because you are following the word of God. Number one, we should expect some level of deep sorrow and despair. The world around us is very godless. They do not love God. They do not love God's people. Look at verse 1 with me quickly. Psalm 69. For the choir director, according to Shushanim, a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I've sunk in deep mire. There is no foothold. I've come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me. David says, God, I'm in trouble. He likens it to a man who is drowning in the sea. David is saying to God, this is beyond my depth. I can't handle this. Look at verse 3. I'm weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. He's physically exhausted. He's emotionally troubled and weary. Why? Because he chose to follow the ways of God. And friends, if we truly want to serve God, if we want to stand with the word of God in this godless world, the first thing that will happen to us is this kind of attack that will bring some kind of despair and sorrow into our lives. And that's what David is going through here. Look at verse 4. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongly my enemies. He says, what I did not steal, I then have to restore. Has it happened to you before? David is saying, God, they're asking me to pay for what I did not steal. We call it false accusation. You're serving the Lord faithfully, and some people are wrongly accusing you for what you did not do. We hear things like, there's no smoke without fire. David says, no, there is no fire behind the smoke. Because I did not steal anything. They asked me to pay. Friends, expect that when you are following Jesus, this could happen to you. And that should not shock you. That's number one. Number two. The godless world will treat you as they treat God. The godless world and godless people, they hate God. They hate the ways of God. They hate the word of God. And because we identify with God, they will hate and treat us with mockery and hatred as they treat God. So don't be surprised when some people just don't like you and treat you very badly because of your faith, because you're standing in the word of God. That's because that's exactly what they do to God. I keep going back to the UK today. If you stood in the public square in the UK and you declare what the Bible declares, people will be angry with you. They are upset. They think you are narrow-minded. How can you believe that in this age? And you are opening up the Bible to them. This is the word of God. Why? They hate God. Therefore, they hate God's people. Look at verse 7 with me quickly. Because for your sake, I have borne reproach. Dishonor has covered my face. I have become estranged from my brothers and alien to my mother's sons. Look at the reason why this is happening to David. Verse 9. For, because zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. David says, I'm going through reproach because the people reproach you, first of all. He said, what I'm going through right now is because people hate you. Therefore, they hate me. And the reason is because he's consumed with the things of God. So, number one, please be reminded when you stay faithful to God's word, there are moments in your life, in my life, where some kind of deep sorrow and despair will come to us because of the way godless people will treat us. Number two, they do that to us because that's exactly what they do to God. And so it's nothing unique for us to suffer for the sake of Christ. It's not new because in this godless world, people do not love Jesus. They don't love God's word. And that's very important. Number three, verse 20. Just 4 points. Number three, verse 20. And that's my third point today. When you decide to go for God and for God's word and for accurate Bible teaching, it could be a lonely journey for you, either as an individual or as a church. I can tell you this from my experience in ministry in the UK for about 16 years. To be a faithful Bible-believing Christian could be a lonely journey for us. And that will be true for you. Look at what it says, verse 20. Reproach has broken my heart. I'm so sick. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. And for comforters, I found none. They also gave me God for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Of course, this happened to Jesus Christ, literally on the cross. What David is saying here is that, because I'm serving God, I find nobody to comfort me. In a time of undeserved suffering, there's none who can stand by my side. Serving God faithfully sometimes could be a lonely journey for you. Because many people don't want to serve God. But stick to the Bible. It's, you know when you have, what happens when you are going through difficult times in life and somebody says to you, what's going on with you? And the person sits down with you, he hears your pain and your heart, and he says, let me pray for you. The person might not even justify, it might not support what you are going through, but the fact that that person can say, let me pray for you, let me encourage you. But in the godless world, you don't find that. When you stand for God, don't expect godless people to bring comfort your way. It could be a lonely journey for you. It happened to Jesus Christ. You will expect that of all the crowds that followed him in his ministry, everybody will be faithful to the end. No? As a matter of fact, when he was born, King Herod planned to kill him. As he began his ministry, the Pharisees and all the religious leaders hated him with a passion and they wanted to bring him down. As he was going to the cross, Judas, his best friend, on the way to the cross, Peter, betrayed him. Judas, one of his team members, gave him up. And finally, he entered for the cross alone, by himself, suffering and pain. Arrived on the spot, we know that the Bible says that he that did no sin was made sin, that we might become his righteousness. God poured the wrath of his justice on him. And that suffering is what it, in the sense, is substitutionary. It went through that divine spiritual suffering for you and for me. And through his death, suffering and resurrection, now we have eternal life by placing our faith in him. That's why salvation can only be by faith alone, in Christ alone. Because he went through all the suffering, both human and spiritual, alone by himself. Even on the cross he shouted, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have thou forsaken me? But what I've seen to us today, it shouldn't be strange to us when you are following God and the journey is full of suffering and full of weariness and pain and loneliness. It shouldn't surprise you. That's what our Savior did for us. And finally, my last point today. Look at verse 22. David asks for justice. Verse 22, may their table before them become a snare, and when they are in peace, may it become a trap. 23, may their eyes grow dim so that they cannot see. May their loins shake continually. Pour out your indignation on them, and may your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be desolate. May none dwell in their tents, for they have persecuted him whom you yourself have smitten, and they tell of the pain of those whom you have wounded, and iniquity add iniquity to the iniquity, and may they not come into your righteousness. May they be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous. David is not under emotional anger or bitterness here. What is simply saying that God, I know you are a just God, you are holy, you are your righteousness and your justice, they form your holiness. Therefore, I'm asking you to judge your enemies by yourself. And the principle is this: when we are suffering in a godless world, we must not take vengeance into our hands. We must go to God and let God deal with that in his justice. That's how to cope with undeserved suffering. And nothing is more beautiful than that, because we leave the matter into God's hands. The reason why I bring this word of encouragement to us is because increasingly, even in America, as I hear, many people are abandoning God's word day by day. So what is happening in the UK? If care is not taken, maybe it's going to begin to happen in the U.S. here. And so following Jesus and following God's word could bring despair and sorrow to you. Don't forget that you'll be treated as they treat God. Sometimes you look for comfort. You can find it's a lonely journey. But don't ever forget, in the midst of undeserved suffering, do not take vengeance into your hands. Leave it in God's hands and let Him deal with it for you. Again, thank you for this time. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share about London Bible Academy. And I'm asking that you pray for us as we embark on this journey. Shall I pray? Our gracious, loving God, we thank you so much for Country Bible Church that you have used immensely over these years to feed your people with accurate Bible teaching. I am particularly very grateful to you because you also used the ministry of Pastor Mike Smith to help my life over 2 decades ago, to help my ministry. And today, I can see him face to face. I can see the members of Country Bible Church face to face. Thank you so much for your grace and your faithfulness. Our prayer is this, that as the world becomes more and more godless around us, help us to remain faithful to your word. We might not be large in number, we might be minority, we might be going through persecution and suffering for staying for your word. But help us to remain faithful and so that we can glorify you maximally as we serve you faithfully. Again, I pray your blessings upon the ministry of Country Bible Church, upon Pastor Mike Smith, and all that are part of this church. As a growing grace, you bless them and help all of us keep our hearts very close to you. And ultimately, our goal, our desire is to see Jesus Christ glorified day by day. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for this privilege as we bring all of this to you. In the name of our Lord and Jesus, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
I want you to stay up there because if you can, we might ask some questions. That'd be okay. But I got a few words to say first. How about that? I'm the one that always helps hold close to your mouth. Well, God is working. I had no idea that I would see 2 of God's great ministers that I have seen in the past, that they would be here tonight. I remember Pastor John, and Pastor Navis,
that's right,
and Pastor Tyle.
That's right.
But I had no idea that I would ever see any of them. And it's such a delight to see you and to see how far the God has taken you.
Thank you.
And for Pastor Bruce, I was at his ordination. And Moses was at the ordination as well. And it's even a bigger treat. But I see you from time to time on what Moses sends. And you're in pictures where you're all over the world. And God has used these men like you can't even imagine. And so he brought them here tonight. And it's special for me. And do you know what I was teaching Tuesday night?
Mm-hmm.
Romans 12.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's all about imprecatory prayer.
Yeah, wow.
And it don't take your wrath out on them. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay.
Man.
All these things are coming together, and I'm out there, wow. God is in all of this. Isn't it exciting?
Absolutely.
People think that the Christian life is always boring, and you know. Anything but. I mean, you know it.
Yeah.
Pastor Bruce knows it. So So anyway, I'm just thanking the Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know what's coming next. I'm expecting something because I wasn't expecting this, I can assure you. So anyway, we're so glad that we're here with you. So what I'm going to do is, if any of you have any questions, this is the time to ask it, because I would think that someone that is in the UK, and you've been probably in Europe and other countries as well.
I've been to many, many countries in Europe.
Yeah. So if you don't start asking questions, I'm going to start.
Okay.
So somebody raise a hand and ask a question. They're never bashful. Okay, go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, you said you were in the Gambia,
yes,
when you first saw the Colonel's books and stuff.
Yes.
And you were also a pastor at that time, and
yes,
then he started working on you to deconstruct,
yes,
what you were believing that was a false doctrines,
teaching,
false,
right,
doctrines. While that was going on and you were still a pastor, were you still teaching? And if so, how did you approach that with your congregation?
That's a very good question. Actually, I came in contact with Connecting's teaching ministry while I was in Nigeria. And it took me about 3 or 4... During that period, I didn't have a local church to myself. I was just preaching all around the whole place, preaching heresy all around the whole place. But when I got to the Gambia to do a church plant, I had gone through a period of deconstruction of my theology. And so I actually planted a proper grace church in the Gambia. And that's what I'm saying, that the ministries of people like Pastor Mike Smith. Yeah, so I'm here tonight. Part of the reason why I'm here tonight is because I want to say to you how grateful I am for your teaching ministry. I had no books. I had nothing to read. All I had were the things you guys were sending to me. And so, I'm a Bible. And we taught faithfully. And God began to bless the ministry. So that period, I took time. I wasn't doing any teaching. My best friends in the ministry abandoned me. He said I've gone crazy. I said, yeah, it's a good kind of craziness. And I stuck to it. I had no idea that God would use this all over the world. I'm grateful to Him. That's my story. Yes. Yes.
Amazing that God can take someone in Brenham, Texas,
yes,
mm-hmm, and have an impact on someone on the other side of the world.
Yes.
So you might think, wouldn't you get one a little closer? He does the outstanding.
Absolutely.
And then He brings us together to show us.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
I have some more questions, but I'm not going to pause.
Very good question. The first thing I first of all bought a book, then I went to buy all the tapes. So when I went back to this shop and I bought all the tapes there, everything. I bought one on Divine Establishment, I bought one on, what do you call it? Christian suffering. In fact, when I first of all saw Christian suffering in a Christian library, and I asked the owner of the library, "Do you mind if I photocopy this book?" And he was so touched by my zeal, he called his librarian, the owner of the library, and said, "Look, photocopy all of Cornell's books for this young man." I didn't pay for any one of those things. Then he gave me copies of Christian Integrity, The Integrity of God. I had them in photocopies before I ordered my original copies from Beraka Church. And so What I find most fascinating was the fact that the teachings were, I had never come close to that kind of teaching in my life before. Never. They were biblical. They were thorough. They changed my thinking completely. And I wasn't ashamed to tell all my friends that, look, I'm sorry I've been preaching heresy. I found the truth. So, that it gave me, instead of hunger in my heart, the more I listened to him day and night, the more I wanted to know more from the Bible, even as a pastor. I would say Cornelius' ministry was used by God to create a deep hunger for God and for his word in my life, and other ministers, other pastors, great pastors who God used to impact me. That to me was the uniqueness, very impactful. We were not just teaching it, it really changed our lives. And I'm grateful to God for that.
Okay. As he leaves, they're going to come in. Can we ask you a question?
Yeah. They got another one over
there. What's been the hardest country to preach in?
I would say the hardest country to preaching, there are two ways to answer that question. I've been to some countries in Europe that it wasn't difficult to preach, but I was shocked at how much the church had gone into decline. So you think of Albania. Albania is where Paul calls Illyricum in Romans 15. To get to Albania today is almost 99% Muslim. Only about 0.03% Christians in Albania. I've been to Thessaloniki. I was in places where Paul preached. You can only find a fragment of Christians in Thessaloniki. I drove over 130 kilometers with my pastor friend between Macedonia and Serbia. And he drove me on purpose over that road. We saw so many mosques and so many mosques. There was not one singular church as we drove across cities and towns over 130 kilometers. No church, only mosque, Macedonia. So I would say, in terms of ministry, the most difficult countries I've really had to minister to, in my opinion, would have been even the Gambia. The reason is because the Gambia is not a Muslim, it's a secular country, but predominantly Muslim. And so, it's so difficult to teach God's word because they were not overtly very, they were not attacking Christians. But there was this shield against the word of God. And to me, it was hard. I saw pastors came to Gambia, spent two, three months, and they went to other places. They couldn't stay. And this is where my confidence in the Word of God, in grace doctrine, became stronger. We taught the Word of God in that country, and people were coming to Bible class. It's amazing. Yeah.
Okay, anybody else? Because I'm about to close if you don't get your question asked. I have one.
Right, sir.
When you were talking about the pastors that just gave up,
yes,
was it because they had no more people that would come and listen, or did they just feel like it wasn't worth it?
Both sides. I think, first of all, they gave up because they could not trust any longer in the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture. So they wanted to do many other things, activities, social kind of things.
Yeah,
exactly. And in doing that, they abandoned the Word of God. And they came to a point where they thought, you know what, maybe God's word will not do it, so let's focus more on social work. And in doing that, they gradually derailed from the Word of God. So that's number one. Number two was that Because also they were not feeding the people. People gradually left the church. Nobody was interested anymore. That I would say the satisfaction.
You know, when I started this church, I went about 10 years, and we had about 15 or 20 people. In 10 years, that's what I was. And I got down on myself because I thought, I'm not doing something right, because when somebody starts a church and people come and it grows and all that, it wasn't happening. And I was just thinking, well, it's all on me. And even though I was doing the best I could, but anyway, finally, God showed me I wasn't ready for more people. When I got more mature and was able to handle it, then God provided.
Absolutely.
And so it's not the numbers of people anyway,
yes.
But from that point on, we've gone up and we've gone down. It's all that.
Yes.
But he was faithful to me all the time. Yes. And sometimes he has to be. But we would say, some people would say, well, that's unkind. No. If I had all those people come and I wasn't ready, that would not be good.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, I thought I would mention that. Yes. Okay. Well, won't you have a seat and I'll close, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim, for finally getting this up there. You could give me a year and I'd never get close. God will surprise you. You think you've got it all figured out and what the routine is going to be, and then he just does things like what he did tonight. It's just such a blessing, these two men. I just love them both. And even though I hadn't seen Tayo, but that's what he did. And this was for a reason. And we'll see how that plays out in the future. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of who and what you are, the love you have for us, and the power that you have, that you possess. And we don't, in our own minds, even have a clue of how wonderful you are, even though we see glimpses of it. We ask your blessing on Tayo, Pastor Tayo, and Pastor Bruce, that you will use them and more people will be saved because of it. We pray that you will keep them spiritually strong and that you will open doors for them. And I'm going to include Moses in that as well. Moses and Debbie as well, and the whole crew that goes with him sometimes. We pray for these people, and even when we were sending things to Pastor Tayo, it wasn't me alone. We had the people that were giving to these ministries that were part of it as well. We ask your blessings upon them, and that you would keep them safe, and no matter how dark it gets, they will go into these dark places and shine the light of God's love and the gospel. We thank you for all this, and we pray it in Jesus' most high and holy name. Amen.